The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, a rock and our redeemer. Amen. Y'all have your James 3? So, for the last few weeks, we've been reading through James, as James tells us how to become more mature in our faith. We heard last week what things are not compatible with being a Christian. Remember the two great commandments. He keeps going back to them. Love God, and especially love neighbor. And love neighbor even when neighbor does not look like you, even when the neighbor is not lovable, still love the neighbor. And so here in chapter 3, he goes into more detail on our integrity. And this one is a bit of a challenge because he talks a lot about the tongue and the sort of trouble that the tongue can get us into. And when I think about this as I was reading it, what really came to mind was something that you probably said when you were a child. You probably heard it. "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but..." Why do we say that? Why? Okay, that's a good answer. It rhymes. Maybe we say it because we want it to be true. We want it to be true. Is it true? No. What that is one of the biggest lies I think I ever heard as a child. I don't know about you, but yeah, I got hit with my share of sticks and stones. I did have siblings after all. And those bruises healed. But some of those words that were said to me in childhood, I'm not sure it's healed even to this day. Those words can do a great deal of harm. And I think of a story that was told about a man who was having difficulty. He was having trouble with gossiping. And so he was sent to a wise individual who said, "What I want you to do as you leave here is take a piece of paper and rip it up into little pieces, and as you walk home, drop those pieces." "Okay, that sounds easy enough. And then I want you to come back next week." And so the man did that. He tore up a piece of paper, and as he walked home, he dropped it piece by piece. And the next week, he went back to the wise man, who said, "All right, now what I want you to do is go back and pick up each one of those little pieces of paper." But that's impossible. They've been scattered to the wind. I have no idea where they are. And the wise man said, exactly. That's what happens with your words. Once they issue forth, you can't get them back. So evil things that you say about other people, you can't always take them back. So let's begin with James. He begins with an admonition to teachers in the church. So those of you who are school teachers, don't worry so much. He's not really saying this about you. He's saying about me. He begins, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." Ooh. What that tells me is that I need to be very cautious in what I teach and what I preach. Because if I teach and preach wrongly, and you suffer as a result, it's on me. So please, pray for your pastor. There are those who become preachers and teachers who really do not have a call for it, and they can do great harm. And those of us who do feel that we have been called can also do great harm. I know too many churches where harm has been done because of what pastors have said and taught. And I pray to God that I won't do that to the congregations I serve. He continues, "For all of us make many mistakes." Once I thought I made a mistake, but I was wrong. No, we all make mistakes. James is including himself in this number. Even he makes mistakes. It's human nature to make mistakes. He says, "Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect. Perfect. Able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle." So if you can control your tongue, the words that you speak, and also let's include the words that we type, the words that we write, if you can keep that under control, you can keep your whole body under control. So he talks about a bridle. He's going to give us some examples here. He says, "If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies." Is that true, those of you who have horses? Mostly, yeah. You put a bit in their mouth and they do what you say. Mostly. Okay, there's other things you need to do, but without a bit, what control do you have over a horse? Your legs. I mean, you have a little bit of control, but you don't have a whole lot. But he's saying he's just kind of giving this as an example. If we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their bodies. Or look at ships. So they're so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they're guided by a very small rudder. It's a bit of hyperbole, but you understand what he's trying to say, right? That a very small object can control a horse, a very small object can control a great ship, a very small object like our tongue can control our whole bodies. That's what he's trying to say, in a hyperbolic sort of sense. He says, "So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits." You know, people whose tongues boast of great exploits, especially those that are not quite true, how easy it is to be boastful. How easy it is to say words that just are half-truths, that make you look better than you really are. If you've ever looked at a person's resume as they're applying for a job, have you ever seen that they boast of great exploits that aren't really quite true? I mean, we want to build ourselves up. We want to make ourselves look in the best possible light. But what harm can that do? What harm does it do when we're caught? "How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire." We've been seeing that lately, haven't we? The truth of that. A tiny little spark, just a tiny little spark, can set an entire forest ablaze. He says, and the tongue is a fire. That tiny little tongue is like a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. This is the damage that the tongue can do. That's what he's trying to say. Small as it is, it can do such great damage if it is not controlled. Then we get another bit of hyperbole. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creatures, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. Not quite the case, but you know what he's trying to say. We can tame horses, we can tame cattle, we can tame sheep in a certain sense. We have domesticated dogs and cats to the best of our ability. Cats are never really domesticated. But they're under our control. We can control them. And some people can. Cats remember the days in Egypt when they were royal and worshipped. But we're going to get into that in a couple weeks. But what he's trying to say is we can control other things. We can control birds and beasts. But no one can tame the tongue. A restless evil full of deadly poison. So he's saying no one can tame the tongue. At least no human can tame the tongue. He explains why this is a problem. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? And the answer is no. Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives? No, a fig tree yields figs, right? An olive tree yields olives. Or a grapevine figs? No, grapevine yields grapes. No more can salt water yield fresh. So he's saying, how is it then that if a fig tree can't produce olives, and a grapevine can't produce figs, if they can't be something other than what they are, how is it that our mouths, which we are to use to bless God and to say kind words to one another, how can it be used both to bless and to curse? He's saying this is unnatural. This should not be. And yet we know it is, don't we? He's saying it shouldn't be this way. That if we use our mouths to bless our God, our mouths then should be used for blessing. How different this world would be if we used our mouths to bless. If we did, as was said in our first reading from Isaiah, what does it say a teacher is to do? It says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. That's what our tongues are for, to sustain the weary with a word, to bring words of compassion to those who need them, to see our brother or our sister or sibling in Christ, and to speak words that lift them up, that do not tear them down, to bless one another, to encourage one another. That's what our tongues should be used for. Not to condemn, not to cause damage, not to cause any sort of harm, not to speak words that are so sharp that they tear at a person's heart. That's what our tongues are supposed to be for, he says. Look at our gospel lesson. Look at Peter. Jesus asked, "Who do people say that I am?" And they speak those words that they have heard. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're one of the prophets. What does Peter say? You are what? You are the Messiah. And then Jesus turns around and explains what it is to be the Messiah. That the Messiah will suffer and die and be raised on the third day. And the same person who said, "You are the Messiah," turns around and says, "Not that kind of Messiah. No, no, that cannot be. You cannot suffer and die." And Jesus says, what to him? "Get behind me, Satan. You're tempting me. Those words are tempting me. You're thinking of things from a human standard. And I'm thinking of things from a divine one." And you'd think from that day on, Peter would learn to curb his tongue. But did he? What happened after Jesus' arrest? Who was the one to deny him over and over? Deny him with curses. Peter. How difficult it is to curb our tongues, to speak truth. How difficult it is for us sometimes not to tell God what to do. How difficult it is to control our tongues. And then we have a second part. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. So people will see who you are by how you live your life. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. We read James once every 3 years. I think how appropriate James is this year when we are in a presidential election season. As we listen to some of that political hyperbole, as we listen sometimes to people, not just in various places in politics, I'm not talking just about the candidates for the presidency, but in local races, how sometimes what individuals do is just attack one another instead of explaining why they are best. And sometimes they do fall into boasting and being false to the truth. And we can learn from them that that is not how to behave. That we are not to be false to the truth, but to be wise in how we speak. And where does this wisdom come from? We've been told that no human can control the tongue. We're told it's God, the Holy Spirit, who helps us control our tongues. Verse 15, such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. So the wisdom of earth is earthly. For there, where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. Again, it's earthly. It's carnal. It looks at things from a human perspective rather than a divine one. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. James continuously talks about good fruits. Remember that from the first week. The word of truth is planted deep within us. God's truth planted deep within us. And it is to what? It is to bear fruit. So here, the wisdom from above, the wisdom given to us from God, is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And he ends, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Don't we pray for peace in our own hearts, in our families, in our communities, in our world? Where does that peace come from? Human beings seem to be unable to make peace. The peace that we seek comes from above. So we're told in this particular chapter of James that that peace can come to us as we control our tongues through the influence of the Holy Spirit, who wishes us to bring peace. So let us pray. Good and gracious God, how often our tongues have failed us. How often we've been unable to control them, and they speak words that we wish we could take back. Holy Spirit, guide and direct our tongues. Be with us so that we can be the ones who speak words of peace to a world in such need of peace. We ask all things through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.